Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Everybody, sorry I was late. This is Atima Voices Radio on Open Poetry Night with Liquid Damage. That's and Linda, that's me. We're going to get started right away because I have some people that need to read and go. So we're going to put up Debs. She's here right now. And let me see. We got to get into the, well, how is everybody? We got some
how
snow.
How you doing, Linda? This is Carmine.
Hi, Carmine.
Missing you.
I've been missing you, too.
Well, I was been praying for you and praying that everything's fine. They're really looking forward to being with the gang tonight. I know it's going to be a wonderful show, so I won't say anything more.
Yeah, we'll say something more.
Guy, can you hear me?
Well, poem.
If you want me to say any jokes or anything, fine, but whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead
I'm
and tell a joke
you.
While I get Deb's poem set in. It should be coming
okay,
around.
Okay, what does
a
house
a
wear?
Second.
Do you know what a house wears?
No.
No.
What does a house
a
wear?
A dress. That's what it is. It wears a dress.
Okay. Uh-oh, this is the wrong poem. Oh,
okay.
No.
Just look right above it. I put mine on already.
Oh, so it's the rapping freestyle?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. The link is up. It's called Rapping Freestyle and Free from Darkness by Deborah Lee. Has everybody
awesome.
Got the link? Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you, Linda. Just quickly, this poem was written for a poet whose profile name is Suicide Suspect, and he runs the Rappers Freestyle Group, one of the oldest groups on all poetry, and he passed away, so this is my tribute to him. And it's called, as Linda said, Rapping Freestyle and Free from Darkness, and here we go. Whisper goodbye as you fly, spiraling high on the cobalt sky. Cut from strings and wearing wings, now the angel choir sings to guide the flight into the light above the clouds that glow in white. At night, look for me from used ebony as I pray for you by the opaque sea with ocean spray splashing as I pray. I'll see you again up there one day. So tap the sweet beats with the breeze on the leaves of Earth's trees. And from constellations that glitter swing, tapping beats for the choir as the angels sing. End poem.
Wow. That was beautiful, Deb. And you have a postscript down here. You are one of a kind. You've left an indelible imprint on me and on so many others, too. Stay cool and you rule over the You'll rule over your cloud until the day that we all meet again at the big party in the sky. This is, you know, I love your rhyme here. You kept it nice and calm. But you always interpret some color into your poems, and you did that here very, very lightly. And it kind of made it glow. I liked it very much. You just have a way, especially with your tribute poems, of bringing out the best in the person that you're writing about. So let me get you some comments here.
Appreciate that, Linda. And just one real quick note, the reason that the photo is a clown is because his name used to be Jest a Jest, and everybody called him Clown or Clowny.
First, let me welcome in 270. Who's 270? Is that Sweet?
That would be Wayne.
Area code. Oh, is that you, Wayne?
It is.
Hi, Wayne. What did you think of Deb's poem?
I thought it was a great tribute to the fellow poet. There must be a lot of poet angels in heaven, because we had a few of them take off up there lately. So it's a great tribute, and did a good job there, Deb. He'd be proud.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Right on.
Appreciate it.
Let's welcome area code 903. Who's calling?
They call me Little Gary down here in East Texas.
Oh, Little Gary, hi.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
Good to
I'm
see
trying
you.
To get to 904 status, but I'm still 903. I'm working on it, though.
So what did you think about Deb's beautiful poem?
I am so glad you asked me. Here lately, when I've been listening to poems, I don't know why, but I've been closing my eyes and just kind of listening to the voice. And it's like it took me on like a spiraling upward journey of goodness and hope and wonderfulness and the rhyme. You know, I'm a rhyme guy, and I love the rhyme. It was right on point, like bam, when I needed it, you know, like from one stanza, I guess. I didn't look at it, but I was listening to the next. It just hit just on point, and I thought it was awesome, like awesome, like on the awesome level.
Thank you, Gary.
It's just my personal opinion, though.
A good personal opinion it is. And Carmine.
Well, Deborah Lee has a wonderful way of expressing words, and it flows like water coming out of a faucet. I've always loved these, expressions, especially this tribute, because it expresses expresses a longing for the individual who had passed away, but then also the longing for the return to be together again. And that's such a poignant thought as far as life is concerned. So, I mean, to express that in tribute to the person who was also very affluent in his expressions, you have a camaraderie there that's very warm and very affectionate. And that's what the poem was to me. It was warm, it was affectionate, it was a desire to really give someone credit for his life and also his work and expression with the wonderful gift that we have. I think it's called poetry. she did a beautiful job.
Thank you so much, Carmine.
Right on. And Hatter.
Yes. You didn't say 916. You just got promoted.
Yes. I'm figuring it out.
Hey, Hatter.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Hatter?
Oh, I didn't hear the poem, if you're asking me.
Oh, I'm sorry. You missed a good one.
I did. I guess I did.
Maybe again another day.
I'll read it tonight, I'm sure.
Okay. All right, sweetheart. Well, Carmine, you got another joke?
Thank you. Thank
you, Deb, for coming.
Yeah, this cop asked the murderer sitting in the electric chair if he had any last requests. And the man said, yes. And so the cop says, what is it? And he says, can you please hold my hand?
Carmine, your jokes are getting terrible and terrible.
I know.
Just saying.
You're shocking.
Tatter, did you bring a piece?
Yes, I did.
I don't.
Yes.
Do I see it on here?
No, I have it in my pocket. Hold on.
You have it in your pocket? That's
yeah.
A good place for it. I'd say, you know what? The reason God gave us pockets was to put everything in.
Yeah.
Actually, that's where I used to keep my cigarette butts.
How come they didn't give the male kangaroo a pouch? He's got things to carry, too.
Okay, Hatter, there you are.
Yes.
Oh, pretty picture.
Thank you.
You are up.
All
You're
that
very
you
welcome.
Dream. Everybody got it?
Dig it.
I got it.
All
you
that,
got it, Carmine?
What's the name of it, dear?
All That You Dream.
Who is that by, dear?
Hatter.
Oh, I don't have Hatters, but I'll I can read
You'll
it.
You'll see the words.
I can read it. I can hear
okay.
it.
Okay. I'll write you then.
Okay. All That You Dream. Let's take this. I thought I saw you crying while standing by my side. I thought I heard you laughing as tears filled your eyes. Tell me that you're watching from the corner above the door. I saw your shadow leaning as it walked across the floor. Is there one thing you wish to tell me before I take my leave? I wish you all, I wish for you all you dream. Just please remember me. I threw a dart. This is what came up.
Wow. I just love your rhyming. It's always spectacular, and the point of this poem is just so symbolic and loving and stuff. I really, really appreciate your writing, Hatter. It always comes out with such a great message and just emotional pulls at my heart that are quite deep. I loved it. Let me get you some more compliments. Carmine.
Well, Hannah, you know, you're expressing, I believe you're expressing a leaving or something. Of course, when you see someone in the room that she's leaning, and you know, people who lean have a tendency to either pick up something or are very questionable as to looking for something. So there's probably a looking for something that she cannot find in her heart or whatever is, I don't know, just, you know, just desperate. But you're also wanting to me, also wanting to you know, to be together, to get together again, is very poignant. So in its expression, which is, it can be emotional, in its emotional expression, you know, you always prove yourself to be what you are, a very talented writer. And so, I really liked it. I really liked it. Continue writing.
Thank you, Carmine. Yeah, that's very observant because it was written from a prompt of another poet, Piano Girl, 9 years ago. So it was very good.
Right on. That's really cool. Let's see. Little Gary.
Yes, ma'am. Man, I'm digging the rhyme and everything. It's one of those that's real metaphorical and so great, expressive, and the way twist and use words to take you there, and the desperation and I thought it was amazing. And it's like right when you're really getting into it, though, that was only my downfall, was right when I'm getting into it really good, it ended. It felt short there. It's like, oh man, I wanted a little more. But other than that, I thought it was wonderful and great.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, you can't go wrong with a short brevity. Can't get lost in your rhyme.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Wayne.
Hey, with me? I thought I saw you leave, but I always remember you. Where are you leaving to and from where? Is this a dream? I'm not sure what the focus is. Is it dreaming, death, or divorce? Very poignant poem with very good rhyme. I liked it a whole lot.
Thank you, Wade.
Right.
You got it.
Let's see. Deb left. I think that's it. Is it all we have here? Has anybody not commented? That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we'll do a needs. Did you comment, Hatter?
I read it.
Oh, that's right. But did you comment?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little off tonight.
That's all right.
I've got Jenny the Deeps on the board. And let me see. She needs a reader. Does anybody want to read Jenny's?
I got my glasses.
That's about war heroes. Deserve so much more.
Okay,
I don't mind if
so
I
shall I. Yeah,
no, only,
if you'd
I'll
like
read
to.
It if it's okay.
I'm not the bestest reader in the world. I have a GED. I just want to put that out there. I did complete the eighth grade, but I didn't make it past the ninth. My oldest child, she's so blessed. She's almost 30. I love her to death. Anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's let Carmine read this one, and you can read the next one because I have another one that needs to be read.
Whichever's easier for me.
War heroes deserves.
Don't tell
that
on the air.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It. Yeah.
Turbulent treachery, tatters trenches, tearing troops to shreds. Lined up like fences, some survived the murky swamps of gunpowder and lead. Other prisoners of war by leaders' lucrative powers, or shot dead. For what? At what cost? Soldiers sacrificed their lives or loved ones just to come home to be tossed aside or lost. Saturated their feet in boots, sick with foot rot. Should have been saluted a hero. Sadly, came home a zero. Generations after generations gathered for memorial celebrations. How ironic, or oxymoron, for back then they were treated as if a burden. Good enough to sacrifice, not good enough to save their post-war lives. Vietnam troops deserved so much more. The Korean War shouldn't have been a forgotten war. So many wars fought, so many lives lost. Tell me, is war really worth fighting for? Does the government really only send the poor? Those who do survive deserve a warmer welcoming. Unless you fought any war yourself, you have no right judging. Not a vet myself, but filled with compassion. For without our troops, freedom wouldn't have happened. This
wow.
is a beautiful poem. This is a tribute to the veteran. I was in the Korean War, but during the 20th century, there were almost 100 million people who lost their lives in war. Just 50 million in World War II. And why? Because of greed, conquest, and imperialism. What a wonderful tribute she had written here on behalf of a veteran. Much praise and acclamation. Thank you, my dear, for sharing that with us. I'm sorry, but I had to express myself.
Right on. No, that was lovely, Carmine. And your reading of it was quite well. Let me see. War Heroes Deserve So Much More is a poignant piece by Jenny the Deep. This is just gut-wrenching, beautiful writing. It does get to the heart of the matter and how sad it was for our heroes of war to give so much of themselves in return to be shunned and mistreated. My favorite part was verse 5, please tell me why in war is worth fighting for, so many lost lives and hearts. Jenny, you hit this bang right on the head. Makes us really think. Thank you for participating on my show. I love poets who make my audience think, and you are one of them. Come back next week, please do. We love to have you. You're always very, very great at your art, and we love to have that. So, little Gary, what did you think?
I'm so glad you asked me that. just because I can't tell a lie. Honestly, I am so glad that that one that I had to read, because it was so wonderful and so the rhyme, and it's like, wow. And as it kept going and going, it like it built and built and built for me. And it was just like, it was awesome. And the way he read it and his comment and being a veteran, salute you, man, it just awesome. Blew me away. But honestly, I'm so glad. I couldn't have done it nowhere near that good. And so awesome. Loved it. Thank you for letting me be here and hear that.
Right on. Great comment. I'm sure she would adore that. Let's see. Wayne, did you comment yet?
No, I haven't. I will now if you want me to. This is a very appropriate poem, seeing how in an hour and a half we're going to be on Veterans Day. And so it's very, very, very good time to read it. And I read it before, but I said, great, right, Jenny? We or I did not serve it so I could come home and be celebrated. I serve because of what is what you do to protect the citizens of the United States and their freedoms. I owe this country for the right to serve. The country owes me nothing. I know what I did, what it did, and the ones that did not make it deserve a thank you and nothing else. Great point.
Right.
Is today Veterans Day?
Yes. So tomorrow's Veterans Day.
It's coming up.
Tomorrow.
It's Monday, isn't it? I think so.
It's tomorrow.
Hey, babe. Veterans Day is Monday, right?
Maybe
tomorrow.
He's in Hawaii. He's probably in Hawaii, man.
It's 11-11. It's Veterans Day. It's always 11-11. Today's 11-10, so I'd say tomorrow.
Right. Right.
It's only 9:30 in Texas.
Let's see. Let me welcome area code 614, who's calling?
Hello there. How are you?
AP, you made it.
Yes.
How's your mommy?
I am here. She has a simple break in one bone in her wrist, and so it has been wrapped up and put in plaster, and she's got it in a sling, and she has to elevate it for a little bit. She has to have it on for 6 weeks, so that's going to slow her down a little bit, but she is fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you could make it, because I'm having a kind of a rough night, but hanging in.
That's not good.
I got here a little late, and
yes.
The board was filled with numbers, and I got
yes.
a little frantic.
Yes.
And Deb was here, and she had to read right away. Yeah, the whole deal.
No, well, look, I got here later than you did, and I'm not going anywhere, Linda. So you know, we'll just make it work as we always do.
We'll make it work. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, I have some stuff already up on the board. Next, I think I've put Titus up.
Yes.
Let me see. Is it Titus? Yes, it is. It's Titus. And
may I get some more comments on Jenny?
Did we? No, I think we did them all. There's not that many people really here. We did Carmine. Did you comment on Jenny
yeah.
Carmine? I think so.
Yes, yes.
And Wayne did, and little Gary
did. What about Hatter?
You didn't Hatter? I thought you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay,
no, real quick,
that's right.
It's a great tribute to the our vets. I think wounded warriors that come home should live like kings, not those that sent them there. Tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Get off my soapbox.
Okay.
Not so good. Liquid Damage, you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. I thought I was waiting for Hatter.
No, he did. He commented. It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay, AP. And AP?
Well, I wasn't here, and I was just reading it to catch up. But what I will say is that, you know, I think, you know, we, Hatter and I agree on this one, that too many times government decide to do wars and put troops out there and then leave them in horrible states once they get home. And it's left to charities and other people to try and pick up the pieces. And that's just a terrible situation, but it's the one we're in right now. And there's something very sad about it, isn't there?
Yeah. Very cool comment. I'm sure she would appreciate it. Okay. So we're going to Titus. Does everybody got Titus?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Love at the Death, the Orpheus Eurydice tale. Little did I know my life would be in your hands. It would be dependent on how having met, finding love had virtually saved my life. Little did I know the default by which luck would bring me from that very dark place. She'd shed some light that day, which was not my last. So brief a meeting, I only wish it would last, touching moments short of touching hands. So precious fate, it chose the perfect place. Gazed into your brown eyes, our souls met. Along the plain, which once again thought luck, it would have appeared more a beautiful life. How never before could I see this past life. Our parting, the future forgot it'd be our last. A second time around, hell no, just my luck. God would reprieve me by using his hands. Her face would find the God I never met, that heaven would I find to give a place. Amid my frustration, loss on our part, a place we have in common, the distance also, life. It's tragic to think our needs indeed have met. A previous life I suspect belched out the last. Give again such precious time, grasp at hands as Eurydice gaze back. Orpheus's hard luck, that never did I see the distance before luck would have it for a final time. Commonplace it seems, I'm constant and dutiful. These hands are never letting go with this last grasp at life. It hangs on a thread, I'll hang on till the last. Thence woe be gone again, she'll call it kismet. But time was needed, that had we never met, distance, faith, my lowly status, just my luck. Time, it meant patience, this my first and last obsession, it's relentless having found a place, never giving up, yet I nearly did with my life, faltering, God would carry me with his hands. Had not we met that day, would have been my last. As luck would have it, my heart still has a place, such as this precious life of ours still in our hands.
Well, Titus brings it. Let the love be not stronger than that which plucks us from death's door and gives us a life with a past and a present, one kind of love that has a heart and soul. And this was beautifully written by Tony with such wonderfully metaphoric tones to give it life and soul. My favorite part is verse 7. But let's see. Verse 7. Oh, Had not we met that day, it would have been my last. As luck would have it, my heart still has a place. Such is the precious life of ours still in our hands. How my love yearns for you, tremendous. How this dances with life and death. But in the end, you always but in the end, love always ends always. Thank you, Tony, for participating in my show. It's poets like you that really make my show go on. Hope to see you next week. And let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, Mr. Titus is always extremely expressive. And then his poem is very expressive and sentimental. It's reminding is there an us in you and me? He never gives up, you know, as far as his luck is concerned, but there is misfortune. And I think the first line says it all. I never thought that my life would be changed in respect to you, because when I had met you, that's all that possessed me. And I'll never give up, even though my luck is against me. But there's a hope. Truly, it's in God's hands. So when you seek love and you find it, but you can't possess it, it's painful. And there's a sense of pain in his work here. However, it's realistic and very emotional. And if anybody could say it any more expressive, well, then we have to adhere it to Mr. Titus. Did an excellent job, as he always does.
Right on. I'm sure to appreciate that. Let's see. Hatter.
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. It's just, I'm not speechless. I don't know what to say about it. It's, you know, when he writes, it seems to me that Titus has the absolute luck of having a lifetime love affair, and it sounds like it still is beautiful.
Yeah, right on. Perfect compliment. Little Gary, what did you think?
That was a right on point compliment that he just said about it, not this compliment, but to what he was describing. It was so beautiful with the music behind it and the journey it took you on. It's like it's something that would be in a book somewhere or something, you know what I mean? To get a chance to hear it like just right out like this, you know, and it was amazing. So awesome how he did the production of it and everything, and it sold me. I thought it was a like upper chalant type of thing, wrote, you know. Those little peons down here, you know. I'm looking up, and I think it's beautiful as clouds.
Right. Don't you feel that way when you hear his stuff? It's like, wow.
Absolutely. Clouds, man. I'm looking up at clouds, and it's awesome. I love it.
Right on. You give such nice compliments, Gary.
Well, I'm a compliment kind of guy. I graduated first in my class.
Compliment.
Right on.
I think
so
somebody
sweet.
Flung to death. I was born with big hands. I tell them it's for tickling. I tickle you. I get you good.
Very sweet. And Wayne.
Yes. This is a great tribute to his wife.
What did you think, my darling?
This is a great tribute to his wife. He got married in September of 2015, this lady he's talking about. And he's pouring his love out to her right now, talking about before they die. Death to part doesn't apply here, because I think they're going to be together after they die. So they're so close, and his love for her is so strong. It's great love for him to his wife that hears them. And so I thought it was very, very nice and very professionally done. Good job.
Right on. And I think next, is that everybody? I think everybody's commented.
I've got one. I've got one to say, if that's okay.
Okay. You got a joke? Oh, you got a poem?
No, I'm going to talk about Titus's poem. Because it, first and foremost, it's a sestina, which is a ridiculously hard form to write. I mean, it's got rules, and you have to follow the rules. And those rules have been in place since the 12th century, and it's six stanzas of six, and you've got to use the pattern, and you've got to follow that pattern with the final line. And so it's very, very difficult to do. Yeah, so technically it's a difficult
poem. Do you have a link for it?
With the way it's written. No, well, that's what this is. This is a sestina. This is a sestina. This is a brilliant, brilliant example of a sestina. And even down to in the, what is it, fifth, one, two, three, four, fifth stanza, whereas instead of met, he's put kismet, which he's allowed to do under the form, but it's just extraordinarily clever, and I'd like to point it out and say brilliantly written and very well done.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what to do now.
We go to the next poem, Linda.
Oh, okay. Well, I had that there. Little Gary, we got you up.
Yes,
too
ma'am.
Too hard?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the one you wanted to do?
Absolutely. I think it's awesome.
Okay. You got that, Carbine?
Let me see. What can I say, y'all?
No, that's too hard.
I posted it
on the board.
It's the too hard one. It should be the last link on there.
You had Francisco up first.
Right. Well, we'll do Little Gary, and then we'll do Francisco Del Mar.
Okay.
Little Gary, yeah. Too hard, Carmine. You got it?
Yes, I have it.
All righty.
You tell me when you're ready.
Anytime you're ready, sweetheart. Anytime.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. This is Too Hard by Little Gary. It's hard to look forward when I'm looking back. It's hard to stay loose when I'm always picking up the damn slack. It's hard to be normal when I wasn't taught how to act. And it's hard to see anything after love is gone because everything has gone black. It's hard to sleep when I'm wondering who she's doing tonight. It's hard to love someone when all they ever want to do is just fight. It's hard to think after everyone gone because my home is too quiet. And it's hard to always be wrong whenever one else is always so right. It's hard to be around people when all I do is cry. It's hard to look at my driveway because that's where all the girls tell me goodbye. It's hard to fall in love again when everything I've been told is a lie. And it's hard to go outside at night because the damn moon is up in the sky. It's hard to get out of bed every damn day. It's hard to get anywhere when no one will show me the way. It's hard to be colorful when everything I see has turned gray. And it's hard to watch people leave when all I want them to do is just stay. It's hard to open up my heart when it's been so torn and scarred. It's hard to play the game when love won't even give me a card. It's hard to relax when life keeps me on guard. And it's hard to get someone to love me. So loving me must just be too hard. End poem.
Wow. I didn't get a chance to critique this, but you know what I like about you, Little Gary, from all the poems I've read from you, is you always tell it like it is. you always bring up a point and then tell it like it is and keep it real. And that's what's really cool about your stuff is it's real. And in this one, God, I just don't even know which one I like the best, but I think it's the last one. It's hard to open up my heart when it's been so torn and scarred. It's hard to play the game when love won't even give me a card. It's hard to relax when life keeps me on guard. And it's hard to get someone to love me, so loving me must just be too hard. That is just so poignant. And yeah, sometimes that is how we feel after we've been through so many loves. And I like how you say that, and you don't like to go out in the driveway because that's where all the girls told you goodbye. After so many people have cut you down, you think that it's just must be hard to love you. And that's not true, you know. You're a lovable guy. And you were first in your class in commenting. I think that's cool. And let me get you some other good comments. Well, Gary, right on with the poem. Let's see. How about Wayne?
How about Wayne? Yes, it this poem is from a brokenhearted, lonesome individual. Emotions are huge, but the rhyme is impeccable. And Gary, just remember, I love you. And take care and good job with the poem.
Oh, man, thank you, man. I love you, too. That is awesome. It made me smile real big. Felt warm. Thank you.
Right on. Hatter.
Yes. Yeah, this is a very unique and exquisite line pattern. I don't know what to call it, but it works. You write a lot like Rhyma, and I say that all the time. It does the same thing. You think you're losing or fading away from the rhyme, and you bring it right back in tight. It's very good.
Thank you so much.
Right on. Let's see. Carmine.
You know, the repetitiveness of it's so hard to, and then followed, well, you got a feeling there, an emotional feeling that is followed by a negative. When it's so hard to do this when this happens, it's so hard to be this way when that happens. And so, you know, he's talking about all the aspects of life that for all of us, sometimes it's hard to do things probably because of our imperfection. But when it constantly it bombards us, then the negatives take over, and to overcome them becomes extremely difficult. And the negatives can really hurt because they kill the positive. So in this poem, he is realistic when it comes to life. He did an excellent job. And you got to give him a lot of credit, you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right on. Little Gary, you get a 10. And
Thank you. I need to write this down. An hour before Veterans Day, I'm a 10. This is big for me. I'm like, I'm going to go buy some balloons and get somebody to blow them up for me. No shit.
Right on. Do that.
Thank you.
That,
thank you.
That is something you should do.
I'm blessed. You know, things always don't go right for me. So I'm truly blessed, for real. Thank you so much.
That's a chipper thing to do. Okay, let's see.
I got published. I might have told you last time, and they're supposed to give me my first rough copy. They think everybody was crying and stuff, and they say the simplicity, the way that I describe things that people can understand, they think it's going to be pretty good. And So I'm excited. I'm so excited. It would be amazing for my life and my family.
Cool. Well, you're a fine writer. I've always liked your writing. You've always impressed me very much.
And your eyes have always been on point. I'm telling you, you got the best eyes, and I see why. Thank you so much for your blessing eyes.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, next, we have a poet that is scary. His name is Francisco Del Mar, and he's on the board. He's up at the top, Carmine. It's called Centurio Cemetery.
Okay. I have it.
And this is a SoundCloud, so let me go back to the studio. Everybody got it?
Yep.
Got it.
Little Gary, got it? Okay, here we go.
The sweet silence of the day has been interrupted suddenly by the penetrating perturbation of roaring raindrops of a tempest looming over the sleeping selves of the creepy crawlers lurking beyond the old abandoned road of the Centurio Cemetery ahead. The seducing sounds of the solitary silhouettes resonate, an eldritch echo of the curious carts hiding in a shade of darkness, when the nocturnal creatures of the spooky sanctuary watch, with the crimson film of the beady eyes of throbbing terror. The wailing winds of the cemetery reach the windows of townsfolk, waiting for the haunting call to abate with the raging rain, as the clustered children hide under the beds with sheer fright, and the swaying shutters flap back and forth with all force. Scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emergent evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a blissful light reflected from the burning brimstone, for the collisionist carts are aware of your susceptibility. Death is a blind mystery that only a few will resolve its enigma, and buries a secret that remains hidden within the episodes of life, where the strangest beings of all thus reside beside us forever, with the strangest occurrences that torment our fragile minds. Can you hear
cool.
the cops?
Francisco, what after horror?
Can you hear the cops?
Oh, Francisco, what other horror you bring to the page, and what cool words you use to send us to our dictionaries. Perturbation, I love it, for anxiety or mental uneasiness, or roaric, which resembling persisting to dewy. You have used many words here to create a horrific sense of beingness. I love where you say, like a listful light reflected from the burning brimstone from the caliginous cats are aware of your susceptibility. Awesome wording, my darling, and super awesome poetry. Always remember you are my sergeant of scary, my deputy of doom and despair, and my master of macabre. See you next week. And let's get Francisco some new comments. Hatter.
Yeah, I didn't know that was Frank until at the end. I didn't know he changed. I wasn't aware he changed his name.
Oh.
That was very good.
Should I play it again?
I don't care.
Let's play it again. Oh, hang on, just now. Before we do that, Sweet's in the studio. She needs to read and run. So
okay.
Let me go into the studio. Okay, Sweet, we're... Okay, so... You're up, darling. I don't see her link, though. Let me check this again. Does anybody have a joke?
Yeah. Why should you never trust stairs?
Why should I never dress stairs?
Bears.
I don't know why. Bears.
Because
oh,
they're
bears.
Always up to something.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, I got Sweets on the board. Thank you, Carmine. That was Sweet. Okay, Sweet Peas is on the board. Broken hearts belong in Wonderland. You got that, Carmine?
I don't think so, my dear, but,
It's halfway up.
Halfway up, okay.
Broken hearts belong in Wonderland.
You can play because I can see it on my phone.
Okay. When Sweet's ready, are you ready, Sweet? Is she gonna read it? Let me see if she's.
Did you let her in?
Oh, let me see. Did I? No, I didn't. I did not.
Thank you. I'm talking. Nobody
Sorry.
Heard me. I was like, I wanted to
Thanks,
tell Frank how great that poem. I'm like, that poem was really great,
oh, go ahead.
Frank, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I know. I said I've never seen a kitty so tortured in there. I was like, wow, that was a really good read. And some really great language in there. Stephen King would be a little jealous. I was going to say, make sure you get all the comments. I know you're going to play it again, but I didn't want anybody not to get their comments in. But and I appreciate
right.
But if you're going to play again, that's great. Yeah. I was like, I'm talking,
but we got...
to me. I'm like, yeah, make sure you go back and get comments from
dry.
Frank.
Everybody's
yeah,
dropping.
Go. Don't go away.
Okay, well, Carmine's with me. Carmine, did you comment on Francisco Del Mar's?
I don't.
The scary one?
Nobody
heard it, right?
No, I didn't hear it, my dear. But I heard
Francisco.
Okay,
well, we'll play it over.
No, I read Francisco.
That's the one I'm talking
about. I'll tell you right now, the imagery was extremely colorful as far as Francisco was concerned. And many of his lines were memorable. He's talking about shades of darkness. He's talking about beady eyes of the cats and the spooky, those words express such atmosphere, the place, the time, especially with the cat wailing at the end. I mean, it could be a horror story, and the hissing of evil. So, he has a flair for that, which is magnificent. He's got a masterful touch,
right.
And that is a gift. Because that genre right there, takes its own special coloring, the artistic coloring, and he has it. And they give him a lot of coloring and a lot of praise.
Yeah. All righty, my darlings. Well, let's get on to Sweet Pea. She's got a piece. She's got a date tonight.
Yes, I do.
Sweet Pea's. She's got a date with her hubby. I think that's so sweet.
Thank you. All right, I put it right back down at the bottom there for everybody. So this is Broken Hearts Belong in Wonderland by Sweet Pea. Broken hearts belong in Wonderland, a world that keeps no time, scattered moments of sniveling and random giggles and bursts of rhyme. Cannot be judged from a tick-tock clock with pressures of moving on. Tall and handsome with words of integrity, he beguiled my sensibilities. Teenage butterflies flew until rose-colored glasses cracked, awoke to hostility. Regurgitated hypothesis, a clown wearing a Weiss mask. Optical illusions, fear and confusion, confessions and amusement. Simplicity and apology assures the Simplicity and apology assures the preservation of trust, not accusements, as a witch's brew of resentment boils in the blood of discontentment. Thunderstorms rain behind the closed doors as scars of savagery remain. Vows reclaim as love hangs on strings of ego and shame. Power plays and sad songs, emotional swing set games. Survivalist or suicidal quest, can the breath of a wedding kiss be revived? Skies drop dying scars and tear stains on moonbeams often lie. Wishing wells collect tarnished pennies, suffocating dreams to die. Broken hearts belong in Wonderland, world that keeps no time. Scattered moments of sniveling and random giggles and bursts of rhyme cannot be judged from a tick-tock clock with pressures of moving on. End poem.
Wow. Sweet Pea, you are amazing. Freaking amazing. This is, like, wonderful. I love the first and last verse, first of all.
Thank you.
Broken hearts belong in Wonderland, a world that keeps no time. Scattered moments of sniveling and random giggles and bursts of rhyme cannot be judged from a tick-tock clock with pressures of moving on. That is just so precious. And this whole poem has got this enchanting feel about it. It keeps this enchantment flowing throughout the poem, and it's just very, very cool.
I'm
not sure which part I like both. I think the first and last verse, they're written so well. And this whole poem is just written so well. You keep it on an even tone, and it just it giggles and its whole way through the poem. You know, I like it. I like it like that. And so let me get you some more comments. I'm Carmine.
Well, Sweet Pea, you got a sweet poem there. It's hard for me to make a comment after Linda's comment, because what she has said is would come from my heart too. But you have a flair for that, and I want to tell you that title is a very powerful title. As far as the title was concerned, you just followed through with everything that emphasized and just wrapped itself around that title. And so it just flowed and flowed, and then it exploded with certain specific expressions that emphasized that title. So, you know, like Linda said, you know, you got such a flair for that and such a talent. And
Thank you. You
deserve a lot of credit. Now, you have to keep on writing, because we deeply appreciate that kind of creativity.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my dear.
Right on. Let's see. Hatter.
Yes. This is beautiful, Sweets.
Thank you.
I love when you can repeat the first line, first stanza at the end. It always leaves it's more memorable, I guess. That's a terrible thing to say, but it fits here to repeat the first.
Yeah.
Such a strong beginning to end it the same way is great. Nicely done, man.
Thank you.
Cool. Goes in my Wonderland collection. And I'm always glad when I can, like, have the Hatter like it.
Yeah, the the brokenhearted, tell them that I was here.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I have some real top hitters on my show tonight. Hatter, Sweet Pea, Carmine, I mean, you're all here tonight. And good for me, because I'm not having the best of nights, but we're getting by. And I did have a good lineup, but I don't know where everybody went. But did we do Carmine yet?
No.
I thought I had you up here.
No, my dear. No. I mean, I gave a comment about Sweet Pea, but I haven't read my work yet. That's up to you, dear. You know, you're the captain.
And little Gary left, right?
Yeah.
And Wayne left?
Yeah, Wayne had somebody knock on his door.
Oh, okay. Well, I crossed him out anyway. I'm going to leave AP there. And we can get rid of Titus, because I know Titus isn't going to... Okay. Well, we might as well go ahead and do Carmine, and we'll get back to Frank's after we get a few done.
Okay,
so... Carmine, you should be on the board right now. A
yes,
writer's file.
I have it. It's called a writer's file. Okay. Writer's file was written because I contemplated in my room about my past and about my life, and I wanted to write something about an image. There were many things in my room here that brought to mind an image, but the one that really stressed an emotional feeling was my file. So I'm going to read this with humility. He brought me, He bought me used because the price was right. Defile the words he loves to write. Scratched, circled, crossed, starred, written pensive, pulsed in pain. Some revised still remain unfinished, needing space in quiet nights where not a sound is heard to interrupt, force, misplace that perfect word. Its rhyme, a flow, imagery, story, line of song to fantasy. Simple, stunning, entertaining, deep, emotional, moving hearts to weep. Words of wisdom to concentrate, impressing others to contemplate, and blessed his sons did manifest their writings worthy of the best. Humbly thankful, his passion burns with a voice void of fame. His words created for my files serve to praise God's name.
Well, that was beautiful, Carmine. What a lovely piece of art. You've created a palette of love and fear and all the things that are in our hearts. What a tremendous place this must be. I wish I could go there. Your image is so soft and soothing, while on the other hand is emotional and stunning. The rhyme here is so completely out of this world, wonderful, and so right on. Thank you, Carmine. My favorite part was verse 4. So humbly, let me see, where are you? Here we go. Verse 4. Humbly thankful, his passion burns with a voice void of fame. His words created for my files serve to praise God's name. That's just completely out of this world wonderful and so right on. Thank you, Carmine, for coming to the show tonight, as you always do, and I really appreciate your support on these shows. You keep me level-headed, and I just really appreciate you being here. So let me get you some more comments. Sweet Pea.
Thank you, my dear. Well, you're a very special person. You have a very special sensibility, a sensitivity, and your writings, as well as the ones that we all contribute, are worthy of praise. This work, as you see, is also dedicated to all of our writers, our really family of great talent and gift that only God can give. And so, as I said, I'm humbly thankful, and I'm quite sure all of our writers within our you know, creative community feel the same.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Sweet.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I particularly like the stanza of needing space and quiet nights where not a sound is heard to interrupt, force, misplace that perfect word. Its rhyme, flow, imagery, storylines of songs to fantasy. I think that we live so much in chaos, and especially when I write, I don't care what chaos is around me. I really am in that quiet space in my head, and I live with 3 Australian shepherds and a border collie. And a 5-year-old grandson, but people are always like, Gigi or Mom or Honey, and they're like, oh, she's writing. And there's chaos, but there's that silent space in my head, and I write, and I don't think I could be the person I am without the ability for me to be in that silent place and let it go, because if all that stayed in my head, I would be insane. So I really like that those words because I think they're true and personal for many people with creativity.
Right, right. Nice comment. Heather.
Yeah, I like the part. There's good lines in every stanza, but this one stood out, where not a sound is heard to interrupt, force, misplace that perfect word. It's rhyme, flow, imagery, storyline, songs to fantasy. To go to a different cadence in rhyme and then come back out of it to change is very hard to do without tripping. He does it really well, man. He's very good, Carmine.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Right on. Nice comment. Okay. How come this isn't doing it? There we go. Okay, I was going to do mine next, and then we're going to do Heavenly Angels.
Linda.
Oh.
This is my favorite poem.
Uh-oh. Does everybody got it?
I'm running down
Carmine,
the hall now.
Carmine, she got it?
I'm trying to find it. What's the name of it again? Dear, my ears sometimes just betray me.
Vacant Lot.
Got it.
Okay.
You got it? It's the last one on the page.
I'll get it. Okay. You go on with that, dear. I'll follow you, okay?
Okay. Okay. Vacant Lot by Liquid Damage. Excuse me, sir. Any spare change? Or maybe just a dime. You look at me and think I'm strange while thinking you're so fine. We're living in a cardboard city. We cherish what we've got. My friends and I, we ain't so pretty. We're just a vacant lot. I walk alone in the dark of night. For comfort I will pray. I'll ask the Lord for the might to get through one more day. Tonight I'll sleep in the park and pray I will not be troubled there in the dark, so I may have a dream. My dream takes me way back to when I had a home, 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a cat, and all the things I owned. We're all out here on our own. We cherish what we've got. The shopping cart is on loan, but we haven't got a lot. We have our lean-tos and our tents and our cardboard for our beds, so at night we will have dreamt with a place to lie our heads. We gather at the courthouse. They feed their Thursday nights, and even for the church mouse, things may seem to be all right. We're living in a cardboard city. We cherish what we've got. My friends and I, we ain't so pretty. We're just a vacant lot. One day a young man asked me why I smiled all the time. I looked at him. I looked as if being free and all the world is mine. You kind of have to look at it like it is just a thing. And someday you will be more fit and living like a king. The ones out there you don't call friend, the ones that bother you, well, one day you may be like them and they may be like you. I know you think we are a lot of stinky, rotten bums, but never even gave a thought to where we started from. We were lawyers and musicians and nurses and much more. We were teachers and beauticians and some worked in the stores. No matter what our standings, we were just like you. And now that life's demanding, we will have to see it through. We do what we have to, and sometimes it ain't nice. I'll always try to keep it true, but each one has their price. Sometimes I cry and feel alone. There's no end to this plight. I want to be inside a home. Then things will be all right. We're living in a cardboard city. We cherish what we've got. My friends and I, we ain't so pretty. We're just a vacant lot. Most times I try to act real tough, but it seems like it's in vain. Things just seem to be real rough, and my heart is in pain. I know I just can't stay here. I must be moving on. I'll try my best to persevere and see a brand new dawn. I know one day I'll have a life back like the ones before. There'll be an end to my strife, and I'll be happy evermore. It wasn't easy coming home to live my life again, but I'll remember when I roamed and all my homeless friends. There is one thing I have to say, not everyone returns, because with drugs they have to play, and now they're getting burned. I was out there for 7 years with baby on my hip. I was full of laughs and tears, but life was quite a trip. So that is why I'm telling my tale of living life without a proper dwelling and living through the strife. I salute my brethren still out there on the street. I wish them plenty of God's love and plenty food to eat. We're living in a cardboard city. We cherish what we've got. My friends and I, we ain't so pretty. We're just a vacant lot. I was homeless for 8 years and had a youngest child out there. I think the hardest part was coming back and remembering how to do everything. It all had to be a conscious thought. I learned the one thing I took for granted living inside was ice cubes. And, of course, having a bathroom where I didn't have to put my shoes on to go to. When I got my new house, I took a week to remember that when I woke up at night having to go, that I didn't have to do all that stuff, getting clothes on and shoes on before I had to go to the bathroom. It was a trip out there, good times, bad. But one thing that hits me in the heart is when someone says, "Welcome home," it almost gives me the chills every time. In poem. And since that was Sweet's favorite, I'll hand it over to Sweet.
Oh, sure. I actually have never heard you read this. This was my introduction to you as a poet. I happened to just be reading poems one day, and I came across this poem. And I lost it. I was blown away by your imagery, your emotion, and I had worked very much, as my father had been a minister with homeless shelters and the same mission and all of those things, and had known several people, including an old friend of ours, who had lost his entire family in a car accident. And so he could never return back to his own home, so he just decided to stay in the streets. He just never went back home. And
yeah.
I, to this day, have no idea where he went. I just know he never went back home. And
right.
I always wonder where he went. And this just made me think so much of him. And I'm so glad you made it back. And I'm so glad you're home. And I'm so glad that you're the artist that you are, and that you have hope. You bring light and hope and laughter and everything. It's just an honor to know you. And
wow.
This is like I said, one of my it just rocks you to the core. And I think it should be published. I think it should be honored. I think it's one of those pieces of works that should be read by every human being, because it's not just about you, it's about the state of humanity across the world. It's just stunning.
Wow.
And Hatter, I'd love to know your thoughts on this.
You don't dream out there. But like you said, to be told welcome home, and you don't have one, a call, it strips you of something inside, and it's the most lost feeling I ever felt. I couldn't believe I was there, and just as beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Hatter.
Mr. Haddock. Linda, my dear, you know how to make an old man cry. And those words are fine words. They're sensitive, they're deep, they're poignant, they're realistic. And as a writer, all writers, they write what they know. You have lived through many shades of life that have made you what you are, strong, very, determined, perseverance, so much courage, and a lot of faith. And so that actually just explodes in these words. They are so poignant and touching that it's hard to express even any comment about them. I mean, dear, your way of saying it and what you have said is a drama in itself. And homeless, many multi people are homeless, and they're just striving to live, but the pain is very deep and very penetrating. You have experienced it, and you have portrayed it in your words. And so, my dear, now I know why the personality you are has become what you are. May you be constantly blessed.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, may you be constantly blessed.
Thank you,
Claire. And find the happiness that you always so deserve.
Thank you, sweetheart. That means a lot to me. I was out there so long that, and I had my baby out there, and I finally bought a boat and raised her a little bit on a boat for a little while. And, but yeah, the people that were out there that you knew, the ones that were never going to go back. I mean, you knew it in your heart after being out there for a while, which ones weren't going to make it home. And it's sad, but coming back, the coming back part was the hardest part. I really think it was the hardest part of being out there was the coming home. There's so many things we take for granted. You know, like I said, making ice cubes were one of the things I took for granted that really blew my mind, you know, and getting up in the middle of the night and knowing that you don't have to put your shoes on and get dressed to go to the bathroom. It was, you know, that was intense to learn, to relearn. And just so many things that I learned out there, and the people that I met that I'll never forget, the people, the fun that we had, the bad times that we had. It was, you know, it was a real learning experience for me. And I traveled around the world a lot, the places in the United States, and I just traveled a lot. and met a lot of people. And when I came homeless, it was just a whole different deal. But I thank you for listening, and I thank you all for appreciating that poem. It does mean a lot to me.
I have one more comment, though.
What's that?
The analogy. What a fantastic analogy in the title of, you know, a vacant lot. That vacant lot also has a very impact in respect to some aspects of your life that were vacant. But when you have vacancy, you know, especially in your heart, it burns. It burns, and something that burns is painful. But the best words that come from our heart come because of pain. And you have a
right.
Beautiful.
Well, you know,
keep on going, girl. Keep on writing. But remember, keep the happiness.
I titled
blessed.
That poem Vacant Lot because we were all sitting in a vacant lot one night, and somebody was playing the guitar. A couple people were playing the guitar, and a couple were playing things on the drums, you know, bongos and stuff, and people were singing, and everybody had a good look on their face. And we had our carts, our shopping carts filled with our belongings, shopping bags filled with our belongings, and everybody had their stuff, and everybody was doing something that was having a good time. We weren't all sad and lonely. We were sitting there having a good time. And it was at that moment that I started writing this poem, and Vacant Lot had to be the title. I mean, it just had to be. And that's how that came about. There were good times and bad times, but some of the good times were really nice, you know. But anyway, let's get back to the shoe. Let me see. We had Vacant Lot here. And Heavenly Angel. Heavenly Angel needs a reader. Oh, Sweet Be Left. I wanted her to read that. Oh, well. I guess I will read Heavenly Angel's Perfect. Has everybody got it? Hatter?
Yeah.
Carmine?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect by Heavenly Angel. Darling, you are the tune, the melody, the words to my love song. God gave me the best gift, somebody to love you. What I feel is more than a feeling. All the poems, prayers, and promises ever spoken or written could never describe what is to share life with you. This is what I have to say. You came into my life and made the moon's reflections dance and shimmer within my life. My life is yours. My love is yours. My blood, my body, my own. You own them all any way you want it. In this life, you can't always get what you want, but I certainly did. Your presence covers our spirit like a blanket, covers my spirit like a blanket. All the stars are aligned in my universe. Wouldn't it be nice if all were blessed with just one true moment of what we have? How perfect we are together. In poem. What a beautiful, beautiful poem. Let me see what I got here. Perfectly written for a love so true and blessed. I love the way she wrote this in perfect melody with great cadence and response to one another. Her imagery is shockingly beautiful. The moon, the reflection of the shimmer of your dance, all the love that is hers and his. I love the part where she says, in this life you can't always get what you want, but I certainly did. Your presence covers my spirit like a blanket. All the stars are aligned in my universe. Thank you for this cosmic love story. You so rock, Heavenly Angel. Each time I get one of these poems from you, I am so inspired. My heart just becomes warm, and I thank you for sharing your lovely art with us. Carmine.
Well, this Heavenly Angel is an angel when it comes to expressing love. Especially what I feel is more than the feeling. It's just an intensity there. The existence is indescribable as far as the being together again, which to her is perfect. That's the perfect gift of love. Her love is a giveaway. It's becoming like clay into the arms of her lover because she is, helpless in love. Love moves. Love really, as she says, dances and is the shimmer within life. So what more can we ask than that wonderful gift? And since she has it, and she says, I think it would be wonderful if we shared even one moment of what people, what we have, so that they too can feel what we feel. That's very intense. It's very intense and emotional. And coming from that pen and from, you know, the heart of a woman is very sensitive. She's got it. She's got a wonderful gift here in expressing that that work.
Right on. And the Hatter.
Yeah, Heavenly Angel, you know, I love the way she writes, and it's always positive, and it's good to know that that's still out there, but I hate it that I don't have that in my life any longer.
Right. Well, we're running out of folks here, but I got, let me see who I got up there. I have Phil the Poet waiting to roll. So we will do Phil the Poet. And it's called When. Does everybody got that?
Yep,
you got it. Okay, I'm going to turn this one up just a tad.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called When. When the sun is at the highest peak, I will be in your memory again.
How come this is not?
Swimming in a pool of dreams that are as silent as the waves. When you whisper my name, the breeze will carry the words to me. It will haunt me because I'm surrounded by your sorrow. When the stars dance in the night sky, I will be floating on an endless sea, like a ship upon the calm waters, with destiny far beyond the horizon. When all is lost and beyond the point of no return, I will stare death in the eye, like an old adversary, and laugh. When all fear is gone and there's nothing left to distract me from what is real. I will stand my ground. When the pitcher is broken and the river beckons me over, I will not turn back. I will keep my eyes on the prize that I have longed for. End poem.
Wow. As usual, Phil, you have graced the page with beauty and sense. This is a gorgeous piece of work, which I dare, and I can't read what I wrote. This is a gorgeous piece of work by which I dare, and lovely metaphors. Thank you for your time and effort to participate in my show. Your work is just so sweet, and what I say sense is it makes sense. And in my eyes, that's important. So you have a beautiful poem here, very sensible. And let me get you another Carmen Hatter. You there, Hatter?
Yep, I'm muted.
Okay, Carmen, oh, there.
No, I'm unmuted.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil's never let us down. He's always constructed his pieces just very, very well storylined, start beginning and middle and end. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know much about Phil the poet except for how he writes. I'm going to guess that he lives by the ocean or the sea.
You bet.
Is how he, I think so. He's not far from it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, off in some faraway land. Is that it? You ready, Carmine?
Yeah, I'm ready. This work of film is really excellent. I mean, it's excellent work. He's got his eyes on the prize, even though there's all aspects of sometimes emptiness. He depicts every aspect of life in the fullness that really love contains. Even after death, there's that true love never fails, true love never forgets. It's so emotional, and it's got such a flair about it. One that I really liked was to keep his determination positive, and so the hope at the end or the closing lines make it even more powerful. So Phil, this one is a very poignant work of yours, and I think and I would say very poignant, very emotional, and people can relate to that. So just keep on writing, dear friend, because we love it. Yeah, we do. We love the word. Continue.
Right on. Well, next up is Wayne. And our minds are mental, and that is a SoundCloud. So let me... Does everybody have that? Our minds are mental.
Yeah, I got it.
Got
okay.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it, Carmine?
Mm-hmm.
All righty, I'm going to turn this one up.
instrumental.
Now, why is this not playing?
All problems should have a solution. If not, we may experience an illusion.
What we see may not be what is real. A lot of details depends on how we feel. The mind can play tricks on our perception, which in turn can cause deception. The deception can easily confuse and distract. Our thoughts control how we react. It's hard to figure out what is false or true. Even our minds can have a foggy view. When the truth is found, it's easy not to believe. Our minds have already begun to deceive. We lose our ability to properly conceive. And the truth, we will not ever achieve. Illusions can cause mental confusion. Confusion can lead to the wrong conclusion. Wrong conclusions may create a good delusion, which aid in making the wrong decision. Again?
Very cool, Wayne. There is a mathematical perfection between certain objections. I see your dysfunction upon your compunction. Keep your words great in this world's great gate. Don't let it palpitate when you show up late. Greatly written, my dear, showing little or no fear, and entertained inside out, even that I don't know what it's about. No, really, it's very cool. I think it says a lot. I love the picture up here that just perfectly goes with the poem. I think your imagery is great, and yeah, really cool poem. I think my favorite part is when the truth is found, it's easy not to believe. Our minds have already begun to deceive, and we lose our ability to properly conceive, and the truth we may never achieve. Very well said. But Wayne, you come up with some of the coolest stuff. I'm just amazed. So keep it up, brother. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, you know, a drama is really an illusion of reality. But here he's talking about our mind, and it's true. Every aspect of the mind can be changed. It can be manipulated. That's why we have to be very careful. We have to be wise in our decisions. But one line that I had, the deception can easily confuse and distract. Our thoughts control how we react. It's hard to figure out what is false or true. Even our minds can have a foggy view. And so how many minds have been, should I say, directed into a channel which brought them much pain, sometimes even death, because propaganda is a very powerful tool. And so when he's talking here, when the truth is found, it's not easy to believe because you've been buffooned so much. It's very powerful. He's writing in his mind in perception of what illusions are and also what the reality is in how we can be influenced. Is amazing. I mean, it really is. So much credit to our dear writer. Much credit.
Right on.
I love it. I've been even telling everybody right off from now on. I mean, it's amazing. I love what you say right on. It's I don't know. It just makes me feel good. But I'm kind of, you know,
thank
imitating you.
You
know, I pray for forgiveness, but I just love it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Hatter, you're funny.
Yeah, this was a show we had Sweet Peas on Illusions. So the picture was sort of our prompt. Didn't need to use it as one. But, yeah, cool picture. And you did well writing to it. I think it's daring to rhyme four lines in a row. I don't dare try
right.
it. I think I might have done it once. But Wayne does it very well.
Yeah, he does.
Let's say.
He comes up with some things every once in a while that are just out of this world good that blows everybody's mind. But, yeah he does that four-rhymer thing real well. So, anyway, next we have a poet by Lockdown Larks who's got a poem for us called Voices. Has everybody got the link?
Not yet. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, okay. Okay.
Got it, Hatter?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let me get this, and I guess I'll read it. Who is the voice when one is born, nurturing choice as love is sworn? Yet one life's quest, other voices interfere. One cannot rest, deciding how to steer. These voices polarize, asking to take your stance. It's not easy being wise when they seek a war dance. Ego voices in the head instead of the heart, so no avoiding bloodshed as harmony is torn apart. Wisdom voices lessons learning that let's agree it's too much pain, but egos keep on yearning to do it all over again. Meanwhile, a blue sphere smiles, custodians of life. Time. Its sapiens ignore Earth's trials. They will pay for their crime. Where are their voices now? 8 billion feeling so alone. Earth soon will say how our children must atone. End poem. And I thought this was a cool poem by Larks. Incredible sense of poetic style. And the rhyming was spot on perfect. I mean, just really good. His words were chosen nicely, as were his metaphors, and the way he laid out is the poem itself. Great writing, my friend. Hatter.
Yeah. You have no choice but to leave the world as is to your children. It just happens. To say who left the worst, you know, you want to leave a better world for your kids. That's the whole idea. And when it doesn't happen, that sort of, you know, it falls apart as far as who's to blame. You know, it can't be one generation. It leads up to it. I probably said that very, very badly, but that's what I got out of it was.
Right on. Let me thank my people. Carmine, Hatter, Jenny the Deep, Titus, Heavenly Angel, Francisco Del Mar, Lil Gary, Deb, Lockdown Larks, Phil the Poet, Lawrence, 67, Wayne, Sweet Pea, and AP, who showed up. And let's see, Heavenly Angel. Did I say Heavenly Angel? Yes, I did. I think I got everybody. Thank you, everybody, for joining in the fun. We'd love to have you come back next week. So come on back next week. That's all. So go on, Hatter.
Good night, my dear.
Done?
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, tomorrow night,
is that
Saturday.
It?
Tomorrow night, Saturday. I think it's an early show. I think it's an early show with Deborah Lee, AP Taylor, and myself. And the prompt is, I just gave it to Deb, too. It's time. You'll have to look it up. Something about time. I can't remember. Gosh darn it.
Uh-oh. All right, everybody. Have a lovely evening.
Okay.
You take care now, Amanda, okay? We love
you. We'll see
you
again
care.
Soon. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.